It was the second game of my organized basketball career. Young Peter Magnuson was in the fourth grade, feeling very, very good about himself. The first game had been successful. I was the point guard on the team. So that meant in fourth grade, you get the ball in your hands all the time. And that's just fun, right? You want the ball in your hands. Maybe some other point guards out there that know exactly what I'm talking about. So his first game had gone well, and now it's the second game. And in the second game of my organized basketball career, things did not go so well. Things, in fact, went very, very, very poorly. Now, what's odd about it is that I remember that we won the game. And I remember that one of my friends on the team, one of my other buddies on the team, had a great game, scored like 20 points or something like that. But the game for me went horribly. I seemed like I missed every shot that I took. It seemed like I couldn't get anything to go in. I remember, it's almost like I remember in my mind's eye right now, throwing up a shot and it being an air ball. Embarrassment of embarrassments. Horrible. And I'll never forget coming home after that game. My father was driving the car home. He, as a good dad, had been there watching the second game of my organized basketball career. And I was in the front seat, and I was bawling. I was saying, I should just quit. It was the second game, and I already knew my basketball career was going nowhere. It was just conclusive at that point that everything from that point would be a miserable failure. I was saying, I just should quit. Why do I even bother going and playing anymore? Why should I even make the attempt of going to the next game? I'm just holding back the team. I'm no good. Shouldn't I just quit? And my poor father, being the very patient man that he was telling me, no, it was going to be all right. Well, my organized basketball career lasted for many games beyond that. There were some good moments, there were some bad moments. But I'll tell you, at that point, in that car ride home, I was at the depth of discouragement. I couldn't look around and see that, hey, my team had won the game. I should be happy. My team, we're 2-0, baby. This is great. I couldn't look around and see that my buddy had a great game, scored 20 points. Pat on this guy's off. All I could look at was, man, did I play really poorly? Man, I should just quit. Now, this is a trivial thing. Fourth grade basketball, in the grand scheme of things, it seemed to me such a big deal. But of course, it's the smallest, it's the most trivial of things. But I may be speaking to those here today who know what that's like in more serious things. In more important things, whether it's today, whether it was last week, whether it was a year ago, you say, I've been there. I've been at the depth of discouragement. I have been at the bottom. And maybe you'd see today that all you can see at that depth of discouragement is yourself. How rough your life is. How sad you are. How tough a time it is for you right now. How everyone else is just annoying you and irritating you and frustrating you. My friend, today we're going to deal with a message entitled Dealing with Discouragement. Dealing with discouragement. And we're going to look at the example of a man named David, who was at the very bottom of the well, who was at the very depth of a pit of discouragement. And yet, Scripture gives us this wonderful little tip, this wonderful little secret to dealing with discouragement. David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. Let's understand, first of all, about a response. A response. Because I think you'd find that discouragement is inevitably a response to something that comes into your life. Discouragement seems like it always comes from something out here hitting you where it hurts, and you say, oh, oh no. Now look at what happened here in David's life. Let's get a sense of the context of what's going on here. David, you understand, remember last week we talked about Saul under pressure? Saul was being pressured, and what came out of him was disobedience and rebellion against God. Well, part of that, remember, Scripture said, Samuel says to Saul, God has chosen him a man after his own heart. That's who he's going to find. Who was that man after his own heart that was going to replace Saul as the king? It was David. And now here David is. Saul has been pursuing David all around the country, trying to kill him because he's envious. He says, you're trying to take my throne. I don't want that. I'm going to kill you. And David, it seems like, has more lives than a cat, right? He's just getting out of his way here. He's sitting in a cave. Saul comes in. They've got the mountain just about surrounded. David scampers away. They've just got about the city closed in. David sneaks out and gets away. God is protecting David. Well, one day, David just says, enough is enough. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of hiding from Saul. I want a more normal life. And so he says, Scripture doesn't indicate that he asked God about this at all. He said, I'm going into the land of the Philistines. I'm just getting away. Have you ever felt that impulse? Life is tough. Life is a challenge. And you say, I just want to get away. I just want to avoid my problems. I just want to run to the hills. That's where David was going. He went to the Philistines. And there he was in the land of the Philistines. And suddenly he was becoming the friend of the king of the Philistines. Now, the king of the Philistines was the arch enemy of Israel, David's people. Can you imagine if in World War II, you had the war and the Americans were fighting the Germans, and a person from America went over to Germany and became the best friend of Hitler? David went over, and suddenly, hey, he's buddying it up with the enemy of the people of God, who in fact in this story seems to show a lot more godlike qualities than David did at this time. David's going around as a roaming gorilla. Not the ape, okay? That's not the animal. In guerrilla warfare, killing people and murdering entire villages, taking the plunder to himself, and then going back to the king of the Philistines and saying, hey, you know where I am? I'm going to kill the Israelites. I'm going to kill the people of Judah. It was a lie. He wasn't doing that. He was just lying to the king of the Philistines. And so the Philistines say, hey, I got David now. David's my man. Well, sure enough, guess what happens? There's going to be a war between the Philistines and Israel, David's people. Israel, the one that God said to David, you're going to be king of them. And so sure enough, what does the king of the Philistines say to David, the Israelite? Hey, come with me and fight against the Israelites. Come on, fight with me. You can take them on. You're my guy, right? Well, what does David say now? He's been lying to him all this time and saying, I've been fighting against him. How can he say, no, I can't go fight against the people of God. I can't go fight against my people. So there he is walking with the king right in the back of the procession. He's going right along with him. He's going to go out to fight against his own people. Well, God was merciful to David. God was gracious to him, even in David's condition, to rescue him out of this. Because sure enough, the princes of the Philistines say to the king, they say, wait, what's he doing here? What's he doing here in the battle? Don't you remember he used to fight against us? Don't you remember he's an Israelite? They said to him, Saul's slain his thousands. David has slain his 10,000s. Didn't you know they're talking about us in that king? He slew his 10,000 of Philistines. And they say, he's not coming with us. He's not coming with us to war. And so David puts up some front about saying, oh, really? Why not? Why not? I got to imagine in his heart he was relieved about that. So they send him home from not going to battle. And here David is going back to his home with his 600 men. And he's probably tired. It seems from here that he was going perhaps 25 miles a day to get back home, walking. I don't know about you, but if I were to walk 25 miles in a day, I'd probably be a little bit tired. Here I am finally coming to home. I'm finally getting ready to get to my family, get to my wife, get to those that I love. And suddenly I look off in the distance, and there's smoke rising from the horizon. I say, that's interesting. That's too much smoke to be a campfire. That's too much smoke to be a cooking fire. Wait, what's going on? And as I get closer and closer, I see the entire village on fire. I see everything in smoke, and I start running toward my house, right, running toward my place. I say, wait, what's going on? I start calling out. I say, hey, sweetheart, where are you? No answer. No one's around. Everyone's gone. Suddenly I look around and I see signs of a fight, of a struggle. I maybe see something askew over there. I maybe see a table knocked over. I maybe see something broken over here. And then I recognize that while I was gone with my 600 men out to fight, the only people left behind were the women and the children, defenseless. And then the realization dawns on me that this has been a raid. This has been a raid by the enemy around, who has come and has taken every single last person that I love away from me. I don't know whether they're dead. I don't know whether they're alive. I don't know where they are. And my house has been absolutely destroyed. The village has been burned. Friend, do you think that would be a place to lead you to some discouragement? Let's talk first of all about the emotion here. The emotion, David comes back, and those that he loves, his wives are gone. You say his wives, yes. David didn't follow the command that God, the plan for marriage that God had since the beginning, one man, one woman for life. It was common in this day to take many wives, and David did. It's no excuse for us. But here David comes, and here are his wives, they're gone. He had been looking forward to getting home, he was tired. And is it any wonder that Scripture says they lifted up their voice and wept until they, as it were, they didn't have any more power to? They had this very real, natural emotion. Can I tell you something? Emotion is a very natural thing that Scripture does not say is wrong. God has given us grief. God has given us this emotion as something of a release valve, a pressure valve for us when life is very difficult. How do I know that it's not a wrong thing to grieve, not a wrong thing to show this emotion? I'll tell you. Because Jesus in Mark 14, it says that he said to his disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." Have you ever felt like you're grieving so much that you could die? You're grieving. There's so much emotion and sadness that's going through you that you say, I don't know if I can take anymore without dying. That's not wrong. Jesus experienced that same sadness, and he never sinned. It was a very natural emotion for them to grieve the loss of those ones that they loved, grieve the pillaging of their city, and their lack of knowledge of where their loved ones were. Secondly, let's understand, though, the elements that came along with this emotion. The elements, that wasn't all that David was facing. I'm going to suggest to you that he was facing two other elements in this sadness, in this grief. He was facing elements outward, and he was facing elements inward. What were the outward elements? These were the 600 men that were around him. They were looking up to David as their leader, the one who was going to keep them safe, the one who was going to provide for them. And now they look at him and they say, David, our wives are gone too. Our children are gone too. We don't know where they are, David. David, why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you keep this from happening, David? David, are you sure it was a good idea for us to go with the Philistines? Are you sure? And all this outward stress comes pouring in upon David while he's already grieved, while he's already sorrowing, while he's already so weighed down with the own pain that he's feeling himself. But friend, I want to suggest too that there was an inward element to this too. Don't you think David himself at that moment was saying, why did I come here in the Philistines' land? Why did I run away from my problems? Why did I lie to that Philistine king about what I was doing? Why did I go with him as if I were going into battle? Why am I backsliding from God? Why does this entire time it not say one thing about David looking up to God? This is likely the lowest time for David, one of the lowest times spiritually that he ever experienced. And friend, do you know what will be one of the biggest causes of discouragement in your life? And I can testify, I think the greatest times of discouragement in my own life is when I said I failed again. I knew this was a sin and I fell into it again. There I go again. I stumbled again. Oh, I knew I had that. I've had that issue in the past. I know it's a besetting sin. And there I go again. Discouragement doesn't only come from the outside, from relationships being broken, other things happening to us. But it comes from the inside when we look at ourselves and say, oh, I failed. I didn't do what's right. So first of all, we see here a very natural emotion. Secondly, we see the elements that come along with that. And third, let's see the effect. The effect that it has on us. Scripture says that David was greatly distressed. And the picture of this word distressed means to be squeezed. It means that you've got something around you that's like that snake, that python that's just squeezing you. It's like the walls are pushing in against you. And that's the picture of what David was under. He was under great distress. And he was under great discouragement. Friend, I don't know if you will have a greater source of discouragement in your life than David did, but you may know something like it this morning. There may have been something in your life that is legitimately giving you grief. It's legitimately making you sorrowful. Maybe you spent time at night with tears coming out of your eyes. Maybe you've experienced this emotion over legitimate sorrow in your life. It's not wrong. But friend, do you know what then comes alongside it? When we look outside and that grief suddenly becomes discouragement. When with it becomes maybe the separation of a relationship. Do you know in ministry it can be very discouraging? We're working with someone, we're seeking to bring them closer to Jesus Christ, and suddenly they turn their back on us, they act rudely toward us, they push us away, and suddenly that grief that we'd been experiencing turns to discouragement, to say, I can't do this anymore. Maybe it's in the fight against sin. We see grief that comes into our life over our failure. And instead of getting up and keeping on going, we just sink down and say, I can't beat this. This is too hard. I'm discouraged. I'm guilty. I'm just going to deal with it. Friend, I don't know what the stress in your life is this morning that is leading to discouragement, but you know what it is. And God knows what it is. He knows what's burdening you down and taking you beyond just grief into the depths of discouragement. Understand that that's where David is here. David is discouraged. First of all, then, we see the response. The response to this very troubling time in David's life is discouragement. Secondly, let's see a resolve. A resolve. Look at the amazing contrast that Scripture gives. It's such a clear contrast. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now look. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I see in this passage such a remarkable resolve by a man of God who said, you know what? I'm not going to be discouraged. You say, is that what happened? Well, look at what Scripture says. David encouraged himself. He encouraged himself. First of all, let me suggest to you that it starts with a decision. A decision. Do you know that when you're discouraged, really at the heart of that is because you're deciding to be discouraged? You're deciding to be. You say, well, that sounds like a real self-help mechanism. Is that what you're saying? Well, no. But why do you think it is that when in the epistles that Paul says, or excuse me, in 1 Peter 5, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you? That sounds like I need to make a decision to cast all my care on him, doesn't it? And that sounds like if I don't make that decision to cast all my care upon him, it's going to keep on staying on me. Paul says in Philippians, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you know what that suggests to me? That unless you decide to make your requests be made known to God, you'll keep on dwelling in your anxiousness, in your care, in your worry, in your discouragement. There is a decision, friends, that we're faced at when we are sinking into discouragement to either say, I will still dwell in my discouragement, I will let it drag me down, I will let myself wallow in it, or to say, no, I don't want to be discouraged. I am choosing not to. Friends, this is where we so often go wrong on the issue of discouragement. Because there's something in us that kind of likes feeling sorry for ourselves. We say, my life is really hard right now, and I want to make sure everyone around knows it. I want to feel it myself. I just want to go into my room and take a quart of ice cream and eat it all and feel really sorry for myself.
Give me a gallon.
That is what we feel. And there was a decision that David made here to say, you know what? I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord my God. Secondly, let's understand the direction. The direction of this resolve. You see, this is not just some self-help mechanism. This is not just something that says, here, help yourself feel better. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. No, look what David's, the direction of his resolve. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I love that phrase. In the Lord his God. Do you know what David said? I wonder, scripture doesn't give us a detail, but do you know what I expect that David was saying there? David's saying, hey, why am I discouraged right now? How can I be discouraged? I can look up to him, and he has helped me in the past. He's never let me down in previously. Remember when I was running through the wilderness and Saul was on me about to kill me at any moment? He didn't let me die then. Remember when I had this issue? Remember when I was playing that harp for Saul and he took that spear, that javelin, and threw it at my head and I was able to dodge out of the way and get out of the way? He took care of me then. Remember that time when I was out with the sheep and there came that lion to me? And I thought I was done for then, but God gave me grace to kill him then. That bear came up on me when I was with the sheep. I killed him then too. Oh, wait. Remember when I went up against that Philistine, that giant named Goliath? And I was just a young man. He had all this armor. He had a huge spear. And I came at him with just a sling and a stone. And I fired it. I hit him right in the forehead. He went down dead. God took care of me then. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And friend, can I share something with you? Do you notice that it says it was the Lord his God? Friend, if you cannot say today with that hymn, I am his and he is mine, you'll never be able to encourage yourself like David did. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, you have never become united with him as the child of God. Just like the child can say to his father, you're mine and I'm yours because I'm your son. If you can't look up to God this morning and say, on the basis of Jesus Christ's work for me on the cross, you are mine and I am yours, you'll never be able to encourage yourself. Because otherwise, all you're going to see is all your problems. Do you notice, have you ever been at the state fair or at some other place where you go into an exhibit called the Hall of Mirrors? The Hall of Mirrors. What happens when you're in a Hall of Mirrors? You look left and who do you see? You look forward and who do you see? Who you look right and who do you see? You look behind you and who do you see? You see yourself. Do you know what that the depths of discouragement is just like that? You look this way, and all you see is how miserable you are. You look that way, and all you see is how miserable you are. You look at that person, and you don't see their problems. You only see how miserable you are. You look at your wife, and she says something to you, and you say, oh, man, she's just trying to make it worse. You look at your kid, and your kid, oh, he's just doing that intentionally. Wow, does my life horrible right now. You know, even the dog piddles on the floor just to spite you. That's what happens. You just say, everything is out to get me right now. And we all know how that feels. It's like a hall of mirrors. And you know, friends, if you just try to encourage yourself without encouraging yourself in God, you're never going to be able to break out of that. Because that's all you see right now. That's all you feel. You feel depressed. You feel sad. And so you say, okay, this is where I am. No. When we encourage ourselves in the Lord, our God, we look to Him. We say, you haven't failed me yet. You've taken care of me. And we fight our discouragement with the promises of the Word of God. What are those promises? God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How about holding that up and encouraging yourself in the Lord your God? What about Romans chapter 8? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You say, God, I love you. I am the called according to your purpose through the work of Jesus Christ. That means I know that all things are working together for good. That means I know that this is working together for good. Friend, how can you say stay discouraged when you are looking to Him and saying all things are working together for good? How can you stay in that depth of discouragement? We can't. Strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. You know what's so interesting? That word encourage. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That word means to strengthen. To give some backbone to give some resolve to. And isn't it interesting that what is the central word in that word, discourage or encourage? What's the word that we all know in English? Courage. Courage. An injection of courage by looking to the Lord our God. So first of all, we've seen here the decision, we've seen the direction, and third, let's understand the discussion. The discussion. Isn't it interesting that David said, that scripture says David encouraged himself in the Lord as God? You know, sometimes when we're discouraged, we want to go push it off on everyone else. Here, take some of my discouragement and encourage me, will you? Hey, can you please take this on you? David had no one else to turn to, so he looked inwardly and he said, soul, it's time to be encouraged. You know, David did this at other places. If you go look at Psalm 42, we see David talking to himself, a conversation with himself. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Those two words, cast down means burden, pushed down to the floor. He's looking inwardly and he's saying, why are you pushed down? Why are you discouraged? Why are you distressed? He said, why are you disquieted within me? In other words, you know what that picture that is? It's of a bear growling. And so it is in our own life, that murmuring, that groaning, that growling of our flesh saying, my life is miserable. My life is not fun right now. I don't like where my life is headed. We see that in ourselves. And David looks at his soul. He looks at his feelings. He looks at his emotions. And he says, why? Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? Do you know what he says? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him. May I suggest to you today, friend, that if you're dealing with discouragement, it's time for you to have a conversation with yourself. It's time for you to start talking to yourself and saying, why are you cast down? What do you have to be discouraged about? What do you have to be depressed about? Hope in God. Now, can I just give you one simple thing to remember? I hope this is helpful to you. Resist your feelings. Resist what you feel with what you know to be true. Do you know how that will transform your discouragement? Resist what you feel with what you know to be true. In other words, it's this. You're feeling sad. You're feeling discouraged. Everywhere around you is just a mirror looking back on your own condition. You feel discouraged. And you look at yourself and you say, why are you discouraged? You know that all things work together for good. So start acting like it. Why are you feeling so sad right now? You know that God wants to bring something good out of this. Why are you being sad? Why are you being discouraged right now? Because you know he said he will never leave you or forsake you. So I don't care what you're feeling right now. I know something else to be true. Why be discouraged? Resist what you feel with what you know to be true based on the promises of the Word of God. So first of all, we see here a response. The natural response of emotion that leads to discouragement and discontentment and sadness and distress. Secondly, the resolve. It starts with a decision to say, I will not be discouraged. I'm looking to God, and I'm going to fight what I feel with what I know to be true. And third, let's understand here, a reliance. A reliance. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He said, God, you have a plan for this. You haven't failed me before, so I know you're not going to fail me now. And then what? What's the very next verse after Scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God? Look at verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. The ephod was something in the Old Testament that God had given as a provision for priests to discern the will of God in a situation. We don't have an ephod. We have the Word of God. We have prayer. That's how God's going to lead us today. But God had given them a miraculous way to discern the will of God. And look at verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, that's God, answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Friend, I'm going to suggest to you that there are three things that we should do in reliance upon God. First of all, look ahead. Secondly, look up. Thirdly, look around. First of all, look ahead. Look ahead. Do you know what discouragement does to you? It utterly paralyzes you. Remember, you're in that hall of mirrors, and you can't go that way because all you see is your own misery. So you retreat. You can't go that way because all you see is your own discouragement, your own sadness. It's like this prison that's holding you in. It's this prison that's saying, don't go and do anything for God. You're discouraged. Don't take another step of faith in ministry because you're sad right now. Don't act like a servant to that person because your needs need to be met. Don't worry about taking care of your husband, your wife, your children, those that you love because you need some you time right now. That's what discouragement says. It paralyzes you. But do you know, as soon as David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, all he wanted to find out is what's next. God, what do you have for me to do next? God, I'm tired of looking at myself. Let me just figure out what you have in this. And do you know what the most powerful thing that will transform you is? When you fight discouragement, you are encouraged, you are strengthened, you are resolved, and you say to God, God, show me what's next. Show me what's ahead on the path. I can't wait to see it. God, I don't care how miserable I am right now. I know that you've got something good for me, so I can't wait to see it. I can't wait for the next step. You won't be discouraged with that attitude, friend. You'll have dealt with it. So first of all, we see, look ahead. Secondly, look up. Look up. If you're going to look ahead to see what God has for you, you're naturally going to look up. You're naturally going to say to him, God, what do you have through this? Do you know how God brings these circumstances in our life to perfect that which concerns us? To make us a complete person? To make us a more of a mature Christian than we are? God brings a something into our life that will lead us to grief. It may be his chastening. It may be his rod of correction. And we're confronted with a choice. Do I sink into discouragement? Do I refuse to take that correction? Or do I look ahead and look up and say, God, what are you showing me right now? That's why Hebrews tells us that chastening, God chastens everyone he loves. And that chastening works in us the peaceable fruit of righteousness in those that are exercised by it, that go all the way through what God's trying to do. Friend, how many times have we shortchanged God's work in our heart because we've decided to dwell in discouragement? Because we say, I'm just gonna sit and be discouraged here. We're missing out on his plan. We're missing out on the next step ahead. We're missing out on some of the work that he keeps on wanting to do in sculpting us and molding us more into his image. Don't give in to discouragement. Take the next step. Look for the next path ahead. Third, let's look here. Look around. We've looked ahead, we've looked up, and now we look around. Look at this, I love this. Look what God says to David in verse 8. And God answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." God says, David, you know that people that came and took your family captive? Go out after them, you're going to get them. You're going to get your family back. You're going to find them. Now look at the next phrase. Who's got their Bible open? And we'll read that next phrase for me. Verse 9. Read it with me. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him. Wait a second. David got encouraged, and suddenly 600 other men showed up. You say, wait, weren't those 600 men the one that were just talking about stoning him? Weren't those the people that were grieving so much, they thought they were just going to die, they had no more strength to grieve, and now suddenly, because David got encouraged, hey, David, we're right with you, man, let's go get this back, let's go take that next step. Do you know the truth of it is, when you deal with discouragement in your own life, when God lifts you up because you look to him and say, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm relying on you. I have faith that what you say is true. And the encouragement of God, his strength comes into us. Suddenly we can look around at the other people that are discouraged around us and we can minister to them. We can encourage them. We can be a source of leadership to them. Can I just ask you this, fathers? How many times when you have sunk down into discouragement and wallowed into it, you've missed a golden opportunity to lead and to encourage your wife? Mothers, how many times, because you have chosen to wallow in discouragement, to say, I'm just going to be sad right now, I'm just going to be cast down, how many times have you missed God's opportunity for you to lead your children, to draw them closer to God, to encourage their hearts because you've said, I'd rather be discouraged right now? Friend, it all turned. It all turned when David said, I'm going to stop looking at my little hall of mirrors. I'm going to stop looking around and feeling bad for myself. I'm going to stop looking around and feeling discouraged, and I'm going to start looking at God. Because he is trustworthy. He won't bring me down. He will not hold me here. Friends, this will change us. This will change us. And Scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk not by what we feel. We walk by what we know to be true, even when we don't feel it. And that walk of faith will transform you. It will transform your attitudes. It'll transform your moods. You say, well, Peter, I'm just a naturally downcast person. Well, that's fine. But you know what? David was too. You go read through the Psalms and you see the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. I have no doubt that if David came today, these doctors would have been trying to give him every single last medication they could find. I'm not saying that medication doesn't have a place in these things. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, don't blame your personality on what is to avoid a scriptural command. Cast all your care upon him. Be anxious for nothing. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a scriptural command. And what Scripture says is, wherever there is a temptation, whether it's to discouragement, whether it's a sinful kind of distress, God will always provide a way of escape. You're not forced into discouragement. You're not forced into moping around and feeling sorry for yourself all the time. Look at the path that David took. Look at the decision that David made. I'm done with this hall of mirrors. I'm done looking around and seeing myself. I'm looking up, and I'm going to fight what I feel with what I know to be true. Well, friends, I could have used this message when I was coming home in the car that day. Coming home weeping about the failures of my basketball performance. But some of us may be facing, like I said, some much more serious disappointments today. Some much more significant discouragements. For you, I say, friend, first of all, make sure that you are in God, that God is your God, that you have trusted Him for salvation, that He is your Father, you are His child. And then look to Him by faith to say, you will take me through. I don't have to be discouraged. There may be someone else here today who says, I'm not discouraged right now. I'm doing fine. Well, we never know when discouragement might come. We never know when that temptation will come into our life after this natural emotion hits us, an event that can bring us down into that place so quickly. I encourage you, file this principle. File this message away for the next time you are dealing with discouragement. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the example of this man of God named David, who, when everyone around him was sunk deep in discouragement, when even he was there himself, he encouraged himself, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Father, I pray for those here that are dealing with discouragement today. I pray that today would be the day they would look up. Today would be the day they start fighting their feelings with what they know to be true. They would stop walking by sight, start walking by faith. Father, bring comfort to those this morning. Bring your strength. Bring your encouragement as they access it by faith. Let's take a few moments, friends. If there are some here today, as we stay with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, if there's anyone here who says, I'm not in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't say that I've ever trusted Him for salvation. Friend, the first step for you dealing with discouragement is coming to Jesus Christ in faith. Is there anyone this morning who would slip out from where you are seated, come and kneel at these steps? Say, I would like to trust Jesus Christ for salvation this morning. Someone will take a Bible and will show you how you can be saved. I also want to take a chance for a moment for those of you who are dealing with discouragement. For those that are really weighed down with it this morning. Why don't you turn your sight to the promises of God by faith? Ask Him to encourage you by trusting in Him. We'll leave these steps open. If any of you would like to come and kneel and make that decision that you're not going to be in discouragement anymore by God's grace, you are going to seek His power, His strength. But I urge you, wherever you are, make that decision today. Trust Him as you deal with discouragement. Let's take a few moments. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Father, may that be the heart cry of those here this morning. May we leave here and encourage to strengthen people for the next step that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand for the closing grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.